Bible to 1 Chronicles 21. Now, that's not Corinthians, that's Chronicles. In the Old Testament, 1 Chronicles chapter 21. We're going to begin reading with verse 22 and read through verse 26. 22 through 26 will take as our text, and we'll bring a message from this story, this chapter in the Old Testament this morning. You know, people sitting over here to my left, let me encourage you to listen up now. No more talking. Once we get up here and start this time of the service, the talking is over. We need to sit quiet for just a little while so God can speak to our hearts. Amen? That's the main thing. So let's just sit quiet. Listen, I'm glad that you're here. I appreciate you coming, but I want you to listen up now and be a part of me. Listen, young lady, are you listening to me this morning right here? Okay, well, sit up and listen now. Just be ready to hear what the Lord has to say. Let's stand together, please. Verse number 22 in your Bible, verse number 22. I'm going to read the even-numbered verses. Will you please join me on the odd-numbered verses, verses 22 through 26. 1 Chronicles 21. Then David said to Ornan, "Grant me the place of this threshing floor, that I may build an altar therein unto the Lord. Thou shalt grant it me for the full price, that the plague may be stayed from the people." And Ornan said unto David, "Take it to thee, and let my lord the king do that which is good in his eyes. Lo, I give thee the oxen also for burnt offerings, and the threshing instruments for wood, and the wheat for the meat offering. I give it all." And King David said to Ornan, "Nay, but I will verily buy it for the full price. For I will not take that which is thine for the Lord, nor offer burnt offerings without cost." So David gave to Ornan for the place 600 shekels of gold by weight. And David built there an altar unto the Lord, and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings, and called upon the Lord. And he answered him from heaven by fire upon the altar of burnt offering. Let's pray before the special. Our God, we bow before you this morning with an excited heart. Thank you for this passage of your book. Lord, thank you for the message that's waiting to be preached this morning. I pray that it will be received into every heart here. Dear Spirit of God, you know the needs of every person in this room. I don't know if we are aware of our need yet, but I pray that you'll make us fully aware this morning. If there's someone here, dear Father, without salvation, someone who's not sure of their eternal destiny, that need needs to be met right away. I pray your Spirit will speak to that heart specifically this morning. Thank you for your book. Help us as we preach it. Bless this song and the message to follow in Christ's name. And amen. Thank you. Be seated.
Every time I'm lonely, He fills my heart with cheer. Every time I doubt Him, He drives away my fear. When my heavy, He wipes away each tear. Every time I doubt Him, He drives away my fear. When my heart is heavy, He
It's a great song and a better truth. I appreciate that. Now, I want you to stay with me this morning. Normally, I have a brief introduction and then some points, one, two, three, so forth, as we go through that may help you follow the message. This morning, I have a lengthy introduction. I have just three or four short points. They won't come until the very end of the message this morning. David bought a piece of real estate in this story. He bought a piece of ground. And it became very, very important, not just for the short term in this story, but long term. It's a very sacred piece of ground for you and me today. We sang about it already this morning. A couple of the songs that we sang referred to this piece of ground. So I want you to listen this morning as we go on a journey. And I want to talk about this place, the place of full price. Twice in your Bible there, David said, I want to pay full price for this place. The place of full price. Dear Father, I pray that You'll please use the message from Your book this morning. Do what no man can do. Man can only speak to the ears of other people. But the dear Spirit of God can go even further and deeper into our hearts and deal with our very most important need. And I pray that You'll do that this morning. Give me Thy mind, I pray. Thy words, and I'll thank You for it. Bless us with power in Jesus' name. Amen. David had committed a sin against the Lord that required a severe punishment. The Lord sent Gad, the prophet, to tell David that he had three options to choose from as his form of punishment. He could choose, number one, 3 more years famine. They were already in one. He could choose, number two, 3 months destruction by the hand or at the hand of their enemies. Or he could choose number three, 3 days of the sword of the Lord in the hand of an angel, destroying people throughout the land with a pestilence. Now, David chose the latter. He chose the punishment of the sword of the Lord in the hand of the angel. And he chose it, I think, for a couple of reasons. Number one, he had 3 years, 3 months, and 3 days. So he took his chances with 3 days. He also said, let me fall into the hand of the Lord because I know that His mercies are great. And I don't want to fall into the hand of man because man can be cruel. Amen. Man can be retributive and God is not that way. So he said, let me fall into the hand of the Lord because He's merciful. And David chose that latter punishment. And in the story, we won't take time to show you, but in verse 14, 70,000 people died. Folks, that's a lot. 9/11, that was just shy of 3,000. They talked about 10,000 down here on the Gulf Coast, and those estimates were way out of sorts. I mean, we had 70,000 people. That's some entire cities. 70,000, just about the entire Bourbonnais, Bradley, Kankakee area. 70,000. Died. By the way, let me say that, you know, what was the horrible sin that required the lives of 70,000 men? What kind of horrible sin did David commit? He numbered the people. Say what? He numbered the people. He took account of all the men who were armed and ready for battle throughout the land of Israel. He took account of those people to see how many he had. He said, what in the world was wrong with that? God was against it. God said, there's no need for that. God said, you don't need to know how many you have armed and ready for battle. I am unto you as 10,000 times your number. You don't need to count the number of men. Don't do it. And David did it anyway in willful sin. We always think of David's sin with Bathsheba and Uriah as his horrible sin. And yes, adultery and murder are horrible sins. But would you like to know how many people died as the result of the adultery and murder? 4. 70,000 died as a result of numbering the people in disobedience to God. Now, we're quick to jump down the throats of adulterers and murderers. And I'm not for adultery or murder. But I'm going to tell you something, God. Sometimes our willful disobedience to the will of God is just as nauseating in His eyes to Him as adultery and murder are. Amen. 70,000 people died. Now here's David. In verse number 17, he asked God to stop the slaughter. Lord, stop the slaughter. And this is my sin. And let thine hand be on me. Don't make the people pay for this. This is horrible. And God responded. He told the prophet Gad, he said, you tell David to set up an altar in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. So David went to Ornan's place. He went to the threshing floor. And he told Ornan that he wanted to buy the threshing floor. I want to buy this piece of ground. Now David was the king. Ornan came out to meet him and bowed himself to the ground, as was the custom in those days. And he said, you want this piece of ground? He said, man, let me tell you, you can have the property. You can have all the instruments of wood. You can have all the things that go with this. I'll give it to you. You're the king. You can have it. Take it. It's yours freely. I give it to you. David said, no. In verse number 22, he said, I want you to grant it me for the full price. And then Ornan tried to give it to him. And then in verse number 23. And then in verse number 24, David said, no, no, no. I will not take it from you for nothing. I want you to sell it to me for the full price. I want to buy it for the full price. You see, folks, David wanted that plague stopped. 70,000 men had already lost their lives. And David wasn't about to try and skimp. He wasn't going to dicker or negotiate the price down. He was going to build an altar. He was going to offer a sacrifice for that sin. He wasn't about to be cheap about it. He wasn't looking for a 10-cent discount. He wasn't looking for 50% off, buy one, get one free. He wasn't into negotiating or bargaining. David said, I'm going to pay the full price. I want to pay the full price for this. And Ornan agreed. He said, man, if it's that serious to you, okay. And David paid the full price. You see, he said, I cannot offer a sacrifice to God that would cost me nothing or cost me or a discount. I've got to pay the full price. He built the altar. He offered the sacrifice upon the altar and the plague was stopped. Stop. Now, I want you to notice this morning. Listen very carefully. People had been dying as a result of that sin. Sin, death. Sin, death. Folks, sin and death always go together. There was a time on earth in the beginning, right after the 6 days of creation, that there was no death. Do you know why there was no death on the earth? Because there was no sin. But as soon as sin came into this world, death was right on its heels. When sin came into the world, the plant kingdom lost its purity. When sin came into the world, the animal kingdom's purity died. When sin came into the world, man's nature, his pure, innocent nature that God created him with, that pure, innocent nature died because death always follows on the heels of sin. And down through 7,000 years of human history, sin has always been paid for by death. Romans 5:12 says, wherefore as by one man, that's Adam, sin entered into the world and death by sin. Or death because of sin. Because of sin, man dies physically. But you understand, friend, that man doesn't just die physically because of sin. Man dies spiritually because of sin as well. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. And that death talked about in that passage is more than just life leaving the body and the body going to a grave. That's talking about your soul going to one of two eternal places, and the wages of sin is death. All have sinned, and so death comes upon all men. Not only physical death, but spiritual death. Revelation 21:8 says, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable, and the murderers, and the whoremongers, and the sorcerers, and the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The Bible says in Revelation 20:14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Why do we face two deaths? Because we've sinned against God. Death always follows on the heels of sin. 70,000 people died because of this sin. David said, I've got to stop this. This has got to be stopped. What do I do, God? What do I do? God said, offer a sacrifice. Buy the ground. Pay full price for it. Don't negotiate. Don't bicker. Pay full price. Offer the sacrifice on the altar and the death will stop. And that's exactly what happened. Exactly what happened. God had a place of full price for David, for his offering, his sacrifice. And by the way, that very spot of ground that David purchased became a place of sacrifice for sin for years and years and years. You see, a few chapters over from here, don't turn to it. In 2 Chronicles chapter 3, verse number 1, the Bible says that Solomon began to build the temple. You know where he began to build the temple? On the very spot of ground that his father David had purchased. This very spot of ground right here in 1 Chronicles 21. That became the place of the temple. What was at the temple? The altar was at the temple. And the children of Israel would bring their sacrifices day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. The sacrifice would be brought to the altar. The animal would be slain. The blood would be caught. The body would be burnt on the altar. The blood would be sprinkled year after year, month after month, day after day. And it all took place right here on this spot of ground. It was the home of the offerings, the sacrifices. For thousands of sacrifices were offered there as a payment for sin. Down through the years, that temple building went through several changes. Nebuchadnezzar destroyed it completely. Zerubbabel came back after 70 years of captivity and he led a rebuilding effort and the sacrifices were made again on that same spot of ground. Are you with me so far? This is the introduction. I'm going somewhere in just a little bit. On that same spot of ground. Then it was destroyed partially by a man by the name of Antioch Epiphanes. He was a warrior, a God hater, a Jewish hater. And he tore down part of the temple. And then it was restored by a man by the name of Judas Maccabees. And then it was torn down and rebuilt by Herod. And every time it was rebuilt, the offerings and the sacrifices started up again on this very spot that David had purchased here in 1 Chronicles chapter 21. All through these changes, all through the destruction and the remodeling and the tearing down and the rebuilding, all through these years, this same piece of real estate was the place where the offering was made. Sacrifices were made. Each sacrifice an offering for sin. Over and over and over and over and over and over again. Over and over. All on this same place. None of those sacrifices ever paid the full price for sin. They were down payments. They were partial payments. But they never paid the full price for sin until one day God took matters into His own hand. Number one, God chose a specific day for the full price to be made. He chose a specific day. You see, God is not a God of chaos. He is not a God of carelessness. He is a God of careful calculation. And the psalmist said, this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. You say, yeah, Pastor, I look at that little phrase on my wall every morning and I say, thank God for today. That's not what that Bible verse is talking about. The Bible verse is talking about the day that I am speaking of this morning. A specific day that God chose for full payment. Full price for sin. It was chosen on a specific day. But let me tell you, not only did God choose a specific day for this sacrifice, He chose a specific person. He chose a specific person to offer the sacrifice. You see, in the Old Testament, the priests would offer the sacrifices. The heads of families, the priest, the high priest, those were the specific people who were chosen to offer those sacrifices. But on this specific day that God set aside and ordained for the full price to be made, He chose a specific person. No priest could do this. No manly priest. No man with a tainted nature could make the sacrifice. God chose His own Son, Jesus Christ, to offer the sacrifice on this specific day. Not just any person would do to offer this final sacrifice. The person offering this sacrifice, the final sacrifice for all men's sin, would have to be someone pure and sinless, holy and righteous. And only Jesus Christ could meet those requirements. He was sinless. He was pure. He was holy. He was righteous. He was God in a human body. Think about it. God in a human body. And God said, Jesus, You will offer this sacrifice. A specific person on a specific day would offer the final payment for sin. Not only did God choose a specific day, not only did God choose a specific person, He chose a specific sacrifice. On this day, it would not be an animal. It would not be a bull, a goat, a lamb, or a sheep. On this day, it would not be any man, just a mere man. On this specific day, by this specific person, God chose for Jesus Christ Himself to be the sacrifice. Not only would He make the sacrifice, Jesus would be the sacrifice. He would not just present an offering for sin. He would make Himself an offering for sin. His body, His blood. If this was to be the final payment for man's sin, how could the blood of an innocent animal pay for it? It couldn't happen. The sacrifice would have to be paid by an innocent man. And the only innocent man was Jesus. So not only was He chosen to make the sacrifice, He was chosen to be the sacrifice. His blood would flow. It would be His body that would be offered for the sacrifice that day. God chose a specific day. He chose a specific sacrifice person. And He chose a specific sacrifice. It would be Jesus. And He would offer Himself. Now listen very carefully. Not only did God choose a specific day, a specific person, a specific sacrifice, He chose a specific place. And the place He chose was just a few yards away from the place that David bought here in 1 Chronicles 21. The place of this sacrifice on this specific day, specific person, specific sacrifice, would not be on the altar at the temple. It would be outside the temple. It would be outside the city where they took the criminals, the vile, filthy criminals of the day. And on a hill called Mount Calvary, which was in the same mountain range as this place in 1 Chronicles 21. On the hill called Mount Calvary, on that specific day, that specific person offered that specific sacrifice. In that specific place, the same place, just a few yards where David paid the full price for his offering, God paid the full price for man's offering for sin. Did it once for all. Oh, wait a minute. The altar on this day was not made out of stone. It was not round or square in shape. No, the altar on this day was two beams of wood. One of the beams stretched horizontally. One of the beams stretched vertically. And they formed the shape of a cross. That vertical beam representing the fact that only Jesus Christ and His sacrifice of His own body and blood could bridge the gap between a holy God and an unholy people. Folks, it never has been the church. It never has been communion. It never has been baptism. It never has been good this and good that. It's always been Jesus. He is the only one who could bridge that gulf, bridge that wide divide between a pure God and an impure person, a holy God and an unholy person. That vertical beam of that cross signifying Jesus was reaching up and taking the hand of a holy God and the hand of an unholy man and putting them together in reconciliation. That's what that vertical beam represents. That horizontal beam with His hand stretched out like this. When you see that post today, what does it mean? It means come. Everybody invited. And the bird of the horizontal beam with His hand stretched out, signifying that this sacrifice would embrace the whole world. Not just Caucasian people, not just black people, not just Hispanic people, and not just Oriental people. This sacrifice would embrace the whole world, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Every person, under every tongue, out of every nation, out of every kindred and tribe and language on the face of God's earth, would be embraced by this sacrifice. It's for everybody. For everybody. Everybody on that day. On a specific day, a person gave his own body, shed his own blood. And on that day, I'm talking about the day of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. On that day, man's debt of sin was paid with the full price. My sin. But tell you something, friend. When God got ready to pay our debt in full, He didn't skimp. He didn't negotiate. He didn't look for a bargain. When He got ready to pay men's sin debt in full, with full price, He gave the very best He had. He gave His Son. Think about it. I have been. I've been thinking about it a lot, in fact. Ben's on a missionary missions trip this morning out in Iowa, preaching in a church out there in Coggin, and taught Sunday school. He had his first missions conference this past Monday and Tuesday, and he gets back on tomorrow, and then he's here for 3 days, and then he's in a wedding, and then a week from tomorrow he flies to Madagascar with his grandfather. 17 days, and when he gets back, it's over, it's done. His calendar is just, which is what Brother Harrison, what a missionary wants. We sat last night, my wife and I, and talked about this. Are we ready for this? 9,800 miles away. Let me tell you something, folks. They don't come home from weddings at $2,000 a pop. They'll come home every 3 months. Just popping in. This is years of being gone. Am I ready for this? I thought about it. And you know what? You think about it, man. Giving your son to go 9,800 miles away to a third world country, you won't have any contact with him possibly for sometimes days. He has a missionary over there. He'll send an email sometimes just days before he gets all done. What would be worth sending your son 9,800 miles away? I wouldn't do it for money. I wouldn't do it for business opportunity. But it's worth it for the souls of mankind. It's worth it for those people in Madagascar who are going to die without Christ and go to hell and burn forever. Their soul is worth people saying goodbye to their own flesh and blood. Their soul is worth that price. No, God didn't skimp. He didn't cut back. He didn't negotiate. He didn't look for a bargain. When He paid man's sin debt in full, God paid the full price, not for His sin, but for ours. He gave His Son, Jesus Christ, for our sins. Do you remember? While Jesus hung on the cross, He said 7 sayings. The next to last saying of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary was, "It is finished." It's finished. He didn't mean that His life was over. He would never be heard from again. Because 3 days and 3 nights after He was buried, He rose triumphant over sin, death, and the grave. He showed Himself alive for 40 days to over 500 people at one meeting. He ascended to heaven and He is coming back someday, and it could be soon. He didn't mean his life was over. When he said, "It is finished," what he was saying was the sin debt has been paid in full. No more animals, no more offerings, no more sacrifices. The full price has been paid on the same piece of real estate that David bought for full price back here in 1 Chronicles 21. This story is a picture. This story is a picture. David is a picture of God the Father who paid full price for our sin debt by sending His own Son, Jesus Christ, to bear in His body the price of our sin. The price was paid in full. The full price was paid for our sin. Let me say to you this morning, friend, the full price has been paid for your sin. The full price. Every cent, it's all been paid. But if you're ever going to reap the benefits of that, you've got to make that personal. You've got to make it personal. I read a little story this week about a great artist by the name of Steinberg. Where he lived, outside the city where in which he lived, there was a band of gypsies over, and outside the little ways like the gypsies would do, live outside of town. And in this band of gypsies, there was this beautiful little gypsy girl, just a particularly beautiful little girl. And Steinberg took a liking to her, and he thought, man alive, she'd make a great portrait. So he invited her, with his parents' permission, the court parents' permission, of course, to come to the art studio, the place there in his house. And she would sit for hours while he would make a painting, a portrait of this beautiful little gypsy girl. That's such a beautiful face. At the same time, he was working on his masterpiece. He had one masterpiece throughout his career. The masterpiece was called Christ on the Cross. And he was working on that Christ on the Cross and working on this little girl's portrait at the same time. And one day the little girl came to the studio just to sit. He wasn't working on her portrait. He was working on that Christ on the Cross. And she sat and she watched him work on it. And she said to him, she said, "You know, he must have been a horribly wicked man to die like that." And the artist stopped his painting, looked at her, and he said, "No. On the contrary, he was a very good man. In fact, he was the best man that ever lived. He died for others." And out of the blue came this question from her mouth. "Did he die for you?" At that time, Steinberg was not a Christian. God used that little girl's question, "Did he die for you?" to awaken his heart, to bring conviction. And after a few days, Steinberg knelt and received Christ on that cross as his personal Savior. You see, the full price for Steinberg's sin had been paid. Paid in full. But it would have benefited him nothing if he had never made it personal. Am I talking to somebody this morning? The price for your sin has been paid in full. Been paid in full. Jesus didn't die for some and not for others. He died for all. Everybody. The whole world's in the embrace of this sacrifice. He died for your sin. Are you going to reap the benefit of that? Are you going to spend eternity in heaven forever and ever and ever rather than burn in a lake of fire because you made that payment personal? I don't care if you were taken to church 24 hours after you were born. Church cannot make it personal for you. No membership can make it personal. No baptistry can make it personal. None of that. It has to become personal right here in your heart. That's where it must become personal, by you receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The place of full price, Mount Calvary, just a few yards from where David said, "I'm going to pay full price for this sacrifice." God said, "I'm going to do the same. I'm going to pay full price. Would you receive Him today? If you don't have Christ, would you receive Him today?" Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Thank you for listening this morning. Before we close the service and give the invitation, let me just ask two or three questions here. Without losing your attention, please. You could give very rapt attention while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. Listen very, very carefully. I'm going to ask you to do one thing right now at the very beginning. I'm going to ask you to be honest. A dishonest person can never be helped, but an honest person can be helped. Who would say, Pastor Angel, I know that I'm saved. It's not that just I was born into a Baptist church, or my parents took me to a Baptist church, or I've been members. I know I'm saved. I've made it personal with Jesus Christ. I'm saved and I know it. Would you lift your hand, please, and would you be honest? If you can't, folks, don't do it if you can't. Be honest. God bless you. Take your hand down. I appreciate your honesty. Is there someone here this morning who would say, Pastor, I could not raise my hand just then. I do not know for sure that I'm saved. I've been around church, around the Bible, around this and that, but I don't know that I'm born again or saved or on my way to heaven. It's not personal to me. In my heart, I want it to be. Pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Would you lift your hand, please? Wherever you sit this morning, would you do that with our heads bowed and our eyes closed? You're not sure that you're saved. God bless you. I see the hand here. Is there another? I'm not sure that I'm saved. Pray for me. I don't know that I've ever made it personal. I've been around church. I've been around this and that. I've been in religion classes. But I don't know that I've ever made this thing personal of Jesus Christ being my Savior. Pray for me. Somebody else? Raise your hand with these one or two that lifted a hand this morning. All right, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Nobody's looking. If you raised your hand just then, I want you to look at me. Just raise your head. Look at me. Most important thing you'll ever know in this life is that you're saved. Now we have ladies right over here that can take the Bible and show you how to make it personal, how to have Jesus. Why don't you come this morning? That's right. Come right here and let one of these ladies come and show you from the Bible how to be saved. That's wonderful. Is there somebody else that would say, you know, that's what I need? It's not personal to me. I do not know for sure that Christ is my Savior. Anybody like that? While you have the opportunity, while the Spirit of God speaking to your heart. Anybody else? If so, you ought to come during the invitation time to Brother Caleb and say, I need to be saved. And somebody show me from the Bible how to be born again. Now, let me ask this question today. If you've been saved but never baptized in deep water since you've been saved, you ought to follow the Lord and believers' baptism. And I'll do it happily and right away. Say, Pastor, I've not been baptized in deep water since I've been saved. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand? Maybe you came this morning to follow the Lord in believers' baptism. Why don't you come while our heads are bowed and eyes are closed? We have folks that are ready right now to take you back for baptism. That's wonderful. Somebody else? Not sure. Never been baptized? Would you come this morning? Would you come? Follow the Lord in believers' baptism. Anybody else? Now, if you need to be, if you say, Pastor, I'm a teenager. I've been saved but not baptized. We need your parents' permission. Come, give your address to one of the ladies down here, and we can help you get permission from mom and dad. If you're an adult, you ought to follow the Lord and do it happily and do it quickly. Somebody else this morning. All right? Now, if you've been praying about joining the church and you've let that be known to myself or Brother Caleb, we've had the opportunity to talk to you and you want to join, that's fine. If you'd like to know more about our church as far as membership goes, come right down here and tell Brother Caleb. We'll get your name and address and make a time to come see you. The place of full price. Full price. God paid the full price for our sin on Mount Calvary. If you're not sure that you're saved, why don't you come take advantage of this opportunity this morning? You know that for sure. Dear Father, I thank you for this place of full price. Thank you for the specific day, the specific person, the specific sacrifice, and the specific place where sin was paid in full. God, you didn't hold back one thing. You didn't negotiate a cheaper payment. You didn't look for a discount. You loved us enough to pay full price for our sin. If there's anybody in this room lost, dear God, I can't break their arm, twist it, bring them down the aisle. The Spirit of God can convict the heart and draw them. And I pray that He would do so today. In Jesus' name. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Are you saved? If not, why don't you come tell Brother Caleb this morning as we play the instruments for salvation, for baptism, for church. Would you come? You've come to follow the Lord and please baptism right on back. you're not saved, this is the time, this is the day, this is the opportunity. Would you come? Let somebody take a Bible like these others have and show you how you can trust God. Full payment's been made. Why don't you come for a seat in this morning? Would you come? As we wait, prepare to baptize. Would you come?